Well, you did come back. I knew you husbands better be here this morning after last week. And I just want to say before we get started, in no way am I qualified to preach this message. I have fallen short, continue to fall short as a husband. I was thinking about this and Bethany and my marriage, and I thought about the beginning. Back in 2007, we got married in October 28, 2006. She's watching now, obviously one of the best days of my life. But that was right in the beginning of hunting season, and that was something I worshipped at that time. I loved to hunt. I loved it. I went all the time. I had my job, I worked 3 days a week and was off 4 days a week. Well, guess what I did those 4 days a week that I wasn't working? I packed the truck up and I went to the hunting club. And so I did that from the time that we got married, when we got back from our honeymoon in early November through the end of that. And then after that, at that time, I loved to play. And y'all are going to think this is silly, but this is true. I love to play Modern Warfare on Xbox. Are you laughing? I'm serious. I loved it. I logged over 33 days of in-game play on that game. That's a lot of time. So every afternoon, that's what I would do. I would climb in my chair, and I'd put my headset on, and I'd be sitting there. And, you know, I've got this young wife who I married and I loved, and she's just like, what is my husband doing? Who did I marry? Who is this kid that I've married? You know, he hunted all the time, and now all he does is play Xbox. I'm just selfish. I'm an only child. I'm selfish, and I want to do what I want to do. Well, guys, that don't work in a marriage. And later on in 2007, I found that out. She had, you know, it was late, and she's like, well, I'm going to bed. I said, good night. Well, after I finally got tired of playing, I went in there to bed. And when your wife is upset, the nonverbal tells you that. You don't have to, they don't have to speak to you and tell you that they're upset. You can feel that they're upset. But this had gotten to the level I knew she was upset. Not the level like she's mad. I can deal with mad. This was hurt. And it was palpable when I got in the bed and she was crying. She was wondering if I really loved her. It was a legitimate question. Because nothing that I was doing, nothing of the way that I was living my life was even prioritizing her, was showing her that I loved her at all. And that was a tough night. I still remember it vividly. And having those deep questions, you know, her looking me in the eye saying, do you love me? You've married me, but do you love me? And then me having to think about that. I told you I loved you. I married you. We've entered in a covenant with God, a marriage to stay married forever. Do I? And why am I not showing that? Husbands, we are, if you don't hear anything else today, husbands, we are called by God to love our wives. Commanded by the Creator. That's His design. That's what He's called us to do. Tim's already read it. Today we're going to be in Ephesians 5, 25 through 33 with a message titled, probably not surprising, Must for Marriage. Husbands must love your wives. Before we get started, just in case you've already kind of turned me off, and you're like, I've got my opinion, I'm a man, I'm a husband, I know how to love my wife. I want to question you, where did you learn that? If you've immediately shut off what I've said, you know, like, I know how to love my wife, I call the next question for you. Where did you learn to love your wife? Who taught you how to love your wife? Who taught you how a man, a husband, should love their wife? We have many influences in this world. But if you and I have not been taught how to love our wife by the Word of God, we've been mistaught. And I want to call you today to this text because this is what God says. This is how God tells husbands to love their wives, and that's what we're going to look at today. If we want to honor God and honor our wives, then we must love our wives as God has commanded us to love them. That's the bottom line of the sermon today. We're going to take it in three parts. The first command is for husbands to love as Jesus loved the church. In verses 25 and 27, we see this. Look at 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. So this first part is easy. The subject, it's you, it's husbands. The command is easy, to love your wives. But although the command is simple, to love, but what does that mean? What does love truly mean? It's a verb. This is a verb. But in the Greek had several different words for love, and they categorized them. We don't do that in the English language. We use love, like I say, I love Andrew. But what does that mean? Well, I love Andrew like a brother. Brotherly love. Phileo is what they would say in the Greek. But this is not phileo. This is agape. This is the highest level of love. So we're to, husbands are to love their wives at the very highest level. And this is such a strange word to really put, I guess, hands and feet on. So let's go and see how Jesus loved and how God loved, because that's going to be the standard. In Mark 10:21, in the parable of the story of Jesus and the rich young ruler, let's see how Jesus loved, because it's that word. Looking at him, looking at the rich young ruler, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Jesus loved the rich young ruler, and he showed his love for him by giving him the solution he needed so that he could have a way to God and have eternal life. That's the kind of love that he showed for him there. What about the Father? The Father's love for Jesus, I don't think anybody would deny that the Father loved the Son. It says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. And this is the same agape love that we're called to show to our wife. Do you see this level of love? Do you have any question? The level of love that God has commanded you to love your wife, husbands? Jesus has determined the level which we should love, and Jesus also loved at this level and gave the example, modeled the example for you and I to see. He didn't just tell us to do it. He did it and showed us how we could do it as well. It says, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. The same word for love is used. Husbands, we are to love our wives to the same level, to the same degree that Jesus loved the church, that Jesus loved the body of believers. That's how we're supposed to love our wives. I would say that Jesus loved the church, amen? That's how we're supposed to love our wives. If you're saying, okay, so Jesus loved the church, how did he love the church? Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although, here's the first way he loved the church, he existed in the form of God, yet did not regard equality with God to be a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, came down, take the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. He humiliated himself because he loved the church. But then look at this. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Jesus died in his love for the church so believers could have eternal life. That's the level of love that Jesus had for the church. That's the same level of love that husbands are commanded to love their wives. Are we loving our wives like that? Even death on a cross. Would you die for your wife? Would you climb up on a cross and die for her? That's what Christ did for the church. That's the level of love that he showed the church. A couple of questions for husbands. Husbands, are we, I'm speaking to myself through all of this, are we emptying our desires for the desires of our wives? Jesus emptied himself. Are we serving them before we serve ourselves? Jesus served. Are we humbling ourselves and meeting their needs? Are we willing to lay down our life to save their life? Are we showing the love that God has called us to show? I wish I was clever enough to think about this, but I'm not. Charles Spurgeon was. He, in this sermon, combated any man out there that thought, well, if you just knew my wife, you would give me a pass. Like, there's an exception to some wives, and I want to introduce you to mine. He says, nope. No, that's not an exception. There's no exception in this command. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon preached. You may say, surely I am excused from loving in such a case as this. It cannot be expected that I should love that which is in itself so unlovely. Paul silences that excuse, which may possibly have occurred to his mind while writing this passage, by taking the example of the Savior, who loved not because there was loveliness in the church, but in order to make her lovely. We're not lovable. If we were expecting that Christ could love us, if we make ourselves lovable, He would have never loved us. He loved us when we were filth. And if Christ was willing to love us in our filth to show us the model, we are to do the same thing. That somebody is lovable is not the quality. The quality is if you have married this woman, you are called to love her. Verse 26, here's the reasoning. So that he might sanctify her, having, and this is Christ in the church, so that he, Jesus, might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or such a thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So Jesus' motive, he loved the church because he wanted to sanctify the church. He wanted to make holy the body of believers. That was his motive. That was what motivated his love for the church. And what did he use? What method did Jesus use to sanctify the church, to make it holy? He says the word. He washed the church. He made the church holy through the word of God. And we see that again in John 17:17. It says, sanctify them or make them holy in the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is the Word of God. So God's truthful Word is our only hope for salvation. God's Word is our only hope for sanctification. Do we love our wives and others enough to share the cleansing Word of God with them? If it's what has the power, are we using the power by sharing it? I want to say this to some of our young people because I think it's important. Because you're not there. And maybe the young people are like, you're talking about husbands, you're talking about wives. I'm 15. I'm not neither. What are you talking about? I don't need to know this. Yes, you do. Because you're getting older every day. I didn't know that I'd be 43. And look, I blinked 3 times and now I'm 43. So you too will grow, and this will apply to you at some day. Many of the influencers out there that are very prominent are not teaching this kind of love. They're not teaching you to be loved like this, like God has called you to love, or be loved if you're a lady. The songs do not describe and promote the sacrificial love that God is speaking in His Word. Some of the rap songs are probably the worst. I mean, they're awful. I mean, some of these rap songs are so degrading to women, you would think that they were animals. And if that's what you're listening to and that's what you get used to, I'm afraid that you might start expecting that that's how a man should treat a woman. Not in God's Word. Country songs are not much better. But we listen to it all the time and it's in our minds. And it infects our minds. We got to guard our minds from these influences that we have. Or the next thing you know, you're believing that that's how it should be. That's not how it should be. God's Word tells us how we should love and be loved. It will teach you how you should be loved. It will teach you how to love others. The bottom line is that husbands are to love their wives as Jesus loved the church. And you can't find that in many of those songs. The second command for husbands is to love as you love your own body. Winter was tough this year for me, and it usually always is. And how I can tell that winter was tough on me is this leather belt that doesn't expand or contract. It just kind of is. It just tells the truth. And, you know, it did good till Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, I kind of led to Christmas. Christmas led to New Year's. And, you know, just one thing led to another, and there's more and more of me. Well, I made a commitment the other day. I said, that's it. That is it. I'm not buying new pants. I'm not buying a new belt. I'm going to go back and I'm going to shrink a little bit. So what did I do? I said, I got three things that I'm going to have to do if I'm going to go the opposite direction. Well, the first thing is I'm going to start intermittent fasting again. I'm not going to eat till 10 a.m. I'm going to stop eating at 6 p.m. I'm not going to eat again till 10 o'clock. That'll help me a little bit. The second thing I said, sugar. I got to quit eating all this sugar, unless some of y'all want to make something really good, and I might have to try a little bit of that. I don't want to disappoint anybody or make you think I don't love you. But I got to decrease the sugar. And then lastly, I said, you know what? I've not been exercising like I'm supposed to, one, because I hate cold weather, but that's just an excuse. But I said, you know what? I'm going to make a commitment 5 days a week. I'm going to exercise for 1 hour. Why did I make all those commitments? Why did I sit down and make that plan? Because I love my body. Because I want it to function for me. I want it to keep working so that I can keep moving around and doing different things. I developed that plan out of a love for myself. And I think it's very easy why Paul used this. Paul knows that this feeling is innate. We all naturally love our own bodies. And we want them to do well. We want them to look well. All the things. Look at 28. So husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Men, we love our bodies and we know how to treat them. We got it. You don't have to be taught that. Paul knows that we naturally love our bodies, and Jesus knew that we naturally love ourselves. Look at Matthew 7:12 with me. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. You love yourself and you know how you want to be treated, or at least I do. Y'all may not. Y'all don't look like y'all know how to love yourself. I think you do, though. I know how I want to be treated. Amen? Do y'all? I got two people that know how they want to be treated. I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. But since you know, even though you're not telling me that you do, that you know how you want to be treated and what treatment is best for you, all you got to do is take that treatment that you want, and guess what you need to do with it? Give it to somebody else. It was good enough for you. You thought it up in your mind. That's exactly what I want. That's exactly how I want to treat my body. We'll treat other people the same way. Husbands, treat your wife the same way. Take care of your wife the same way you want to treat your body. It's the same thing. You know how to do it. Paul is saying, you've got this. Just do it for your wife. And he continues the logic in 29. He says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but instead of hating it, he nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because why? We're all members of the same body that we love. We're programmed to fully love ourselves. It's natural. I mean, how many kids did you have to teach to say, that's mine? Did anybody have to teach their kids to do that? It's natural. That's mine, mine, mine. They don't care that you wanted it. They want it. What about I want? Do you have to teach your kids how to tell you what they want? Probably not. Mine are really, really, one of them is really good at it. I mean, she tells me everything that she wants, constantly. Men, We're called to love our wives as we love our own bodies. We know how to love our bodies. We're called to love our wives to that same level. We're to love our wife and to nourish her. We're to love our wife. We're to cherish her. We're to love our wife as Jesus loved the body of believers, which is the church. Why? If for no other reason, she's part of you. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Your wife is part of you, part of your being. And lastly, love your wife as you love your own body. Our third command for husbands to do is to love as you love yourself. Verse 31, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Paul here quotes Genesis 2:24 verbatim. Why? This is God's design and God's desire for marriage. Before marriage, before a man marries his wife, he is under the covenant to his mom and dad. He is to live and to honor his father and his mother. That's a command. That's a command with a promise to live long on this earth. That's before. After marriage, a man becomes one with his wife and must love and dedicate himself to her. But I want to say this, though, before that, two cautions I want to say about what I just said. Although a man becomes one with his wife, he never falls out of the command to still honor his father and his mother. And I have seen where this has happened. I have heard the stories of where a man marries a woman and the woman doesn't have a good relationship with the man's, the husband's mother and father, and she won't even let him talk to him. Won't let him go over there and see him. They don't want anything to do with him. She just completely just divides, and so the man doesn't even have contact with his own mother and father, and I think that's wrong too. Because we're always under that command that God has given us to honor our father and our mother. Now, if you go to the other side, there's other side of that pendulum as well. There's sometimes that a man will get married, he'll become a husband to his wife, but he doesn't serve her, he still serves his mother and his father. He won't even honor his wife because he's still up under the mother and father realm. That's also wrong. The Bible says you are one with your wife and you are to love her and to honor her. A transition has to be made. What do we do? How do we reconcile those two things? We will continue to honor our father and mother always until we die, but also love your wife and treat her as she is, which is part of your own body. Now, we're going to get back to the mystery in verse 32. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, a mystery is knowledge that you have now that was once hidden. Knowledge that we have now, but it once was hidden. Look at verse 32. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. So he says he's speaking about this great mystery, this thing that was once hidden. And we can understand this by looking at John 17, 22 through 23. But it says, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them. So Jesus speaking to God, that they, the believers, may be one, just as we are one. Jesus and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, three persons in one God. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. So how do we know that God loved the world? This unity. Husbands and wives should also be united and show that love. So God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are three persons united as one. Husbands and wives are two persons that become one person. And then unbelievers, so here's the church part, unbelievers were once not one. When you don't believe in Jesus Christ, are you part of the church? Are you part of the body of believers? No, you once were separated, but once you profess and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, ask Him for forgiveness of sins, and you begin to follow Him, you are now one. Jesus Christ allows us to be one with the church. We are one with Him. Unity, not division. Now, right here at the very end, I love what Paul did. He's talked about a lot of things, but he summarizes everything down into this one verse, one takeaway, verse 33. Nevertheless, each individual among you, each individual, no exceptions, every, is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Every husband is commanded to love his wife to this level that is just, it's easy to understand. I'm to love Bethany Bremerman as I love Philip Bremerman. And if I love her to the degree that I love myself, she will be one happy lady. Because if there's one other person in this world that I love, it's me. I know how to take care of myself. I know all my desires. I know everything. I'm bent to fulfill them. And if I take that same thing and I apply it to my wife, she, I think, will be very happy. I need to love her to the fullest degree, what? That I also want to be loved by her. I can't expect her to love me any more than I'm willing to love her, can I? And then lastly, he brings the wives back into it. Every wife must respect her husband. I'm going to tell y'all a little story. When I was growing up, I spent a lot of time at my mama's house, which is my mom's mom and dad. When they went to work, I stayed with her. She was like my daycare. And so growing up, what you see is normal, isn't it? What you see every day is just kind of your normal. Well, every morning, I got there about the time that my grandfather left for work to her house. And every morning, I could go in the house and I could go to the bathroom, and what I would see right there in the bathroom would be socks, blue jeans, undergarments, shirt, towel, washcloth. And then I could leave the bathroom and I could go into the kitchen and there would be his lunchbox fully packed, ready to go to work. And on the table would be biscuits, bacon, eggs, a full breakfast sitting there. Oh man, this married thing is going to be pretty good. So this is going to be, it's going to be all right, you know. My mama loved and respected her husband. And that's why she did that. But he also loved her. And that's how it worked. Because that's one thing my mama said. I've heard her say it a bunch of times. She, and with a tear in her eyes, she'd say, "My daddy loved my mama." And it just all works together. It's not a monarchy where a man tells a woman everything that she should do. She should just do everything that the man says because she's scared of him or whatever. But if it's a love thing, it'll work. And it'll be easy for both roles. And God knew that. Husbands, love your wife. How much? Love her more than you love yourself. It'll take care of it. Wives, submit to your husbands. Wives, respect your husbands. And when we're both doing our part on both sides of it, it works as God designed it. I had no clue about the must for marriage back in 2007. No clue. It was apparent. You'd need about 3 seconds to see that I didn't. I was actively sacrificing for myself. I was actively caring for me. I was actively loving myself in every way. I was capable to fulfill the commands that God had called me to. But I was applying those commands to me and not Bethany. And that's what led to that awful night in 2007 when a wife was wondering, does my husband even love me? A wife should never have to wonder that. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. So husbands today, who are you, just soberly, honestly, who are you sacrificing? Who are you caring for? Who are you loving? Are you loving yourself or are you loving your wife? 3 applications from our text today. Very simple. Husbands, future husbands, love your wife as Jesus loved the church. Love your wife as you love your own body. Love your wife as you love yourself. You may say, Pastor, this is not easy. This isn't going to be easy. Amen. Amen. I believe that Jesus would say that it was not easy loving this church as he hung on that cross. It hurt as that whip went across the back, but he thought it was worth it. Do we believe it's worth it? I had a conversation on Friday with a man who's been battling cancer for over a year. Struggling. And as he testified about the last year, was telling me how difficult it was, his eyes glossed over. And a tear began to run down his face because his wife was standing right there beside him. And he looked at her and he looked at me and he said, I want to tell you something about this lady. For the last year, she has loved me unconditionally. And she has stood by me and she has made this difficult trial possible. And in that moment, what I saw was beyond the difficulty to see and hear that, what I saw was what the impact of love can have on another person. And how the impact of the love of that wife had on a struggling husband. And so it's powerful. Men, husbands, our love is powerful and can be powerful. And God intended it that way. And so you may be struggling with it. You may be saying, well, I have a hard time loving. I do. God knows that. And I need to spend more time in prayer asking God to help me to love my wife as He's called me to do. Amen? This is commanded. So if you're struggling, that's what I want to tell you to do. It's time to turn to God to ask God, help me love my wife like you want me to love her. And maybe you're a wife here today and you're having trouble respecting your husband, but clearly you're called to respect your husband. It's time to start praying, God, help me respect my husband as you call me to do. It's been a difficult passage to study. But this is the kind of love that I want to show Bethany. Amen. It's the kind of love I think every husband in here should want to show their wife. If you would please stand. If you have a need this morning, the altar will be open. If you just want to come and pray, or if you have a decision that you want to make, now's the time you do that. Or if you just need to talk, I'll be down front.